open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you.
Do you? I want. And how do you want to see him?
To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. High and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
He's wonderful, isn't he?
Holy,
holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. Amen and amen and amen. So we look into the Word, and we see Him in the Word, right?
That's right.
Amen. It's good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. Glad to have our visitor with us back there. I think they said maybe she'd been here before. Or at least we knew of her anyway. And all. So we just pray that the Lord will bless you. We say you come one time, you're a visitor. Two times, you're just part of us. So just remember to make our sister welcome. Amen. If you like turning to Scriptures, turn to Revelation 1. And Revelation 6. Now, remember to be much in prayer for Sister Peggy Gibby. There will be having her foot operated on in the morning, somewhere between 12 and 1. So keep that in your prayers and remember that. And also remember that, the Lord willing, this coming weekend, Wade and I will be covering the Daniel 70-week series, kind of in a split condition. I'll take the morning, he takes the evening, and we'll be covering it to try to, you know, help you to understand a little bit about Daniel 70 weeks and see it from the drawings and the things and all. And maybe a lot of you've already watched the video of the minister's meeting, but maybe we'll have a little more time. We can, you know, do a little bit better job of doing it. So just remember that. Amen. Let's see the announcement. Oh, yeah, I'm going to tell you something today I bet you don't even know. Today's Terrence's birthday. Yeah. That's why Dick was singing that, huh? Precious memories. Okay. All right. I just thought you might not have known that. But anyhow, Revelations 1 and Revelation 6. Father, we thank you for an opportunity tonight to be able to stand before the purchase of your blood, to be able to speak the words of life, that we, Lord, may be used of you to bring forth the things that needs to be said tonight. And then you can quicken it unto us, because we firmly believe that the word must be planted before it can be quickened or made alive. So we ask you to just help us and guide us, and you use us for your honor and glory. And we just commit it all to you. Remember the sick among us, and just touch each one and bless and guide, Lord, because you promised it. You said you sent your word and healed us and delivered us from destruction. So have your way now. We commit it all to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelations 1:1-3. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who by record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein. For the time is at hand. The time to understand. Okay? Let's go over to Revelation 6. We jumped up and read Revelation 6:3-4 the other day, but I want us to make sure we understand. So let's drop back and just read Revelation 6:1-2, and then we'll continue on into the second seal, the Lord willing, next week. All right. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, as I said, we spoke back there this past Sunday on talking of the Antichrist and the things, but I want to just make sure that we understand a few things, and then if you have already looked at the notes or something, some of you that get them, hold them, and we'll come back to them, Lord willing, next Wednesday and talk and get on to the second seal. But we see there that it says that, you know, when he opened the seal, and I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Now, I pray that the Lord will give me the correct way to present what I see to you tonight, because, you know, I want to try to bring something to you. I don't want to just get together and have a meeting and just talk on something. I want to try to, you know, give an understanding to our hearts and our lives, for that's the purpose of being here. If other than that, we just stayed at home and we could have listened to a tape or done something else. But back years ago when I preached on the seals back in, well, it would have been 79 really in the beginning, and even over into 82 and 3, I saw what I believe was the opening of that first seal, and I began to see it real clear throughout the scriptures. But then there was a kind of a, I preached it, and, you know, the best that I could, but there was a kind of an understanding gap that was not filled in real good, even though if I went back and listened to the tapes, and if you would go back and listen to them, you would hear me saying the things that I'll say tonight. But you know how it is, sometimes something opens from what you've preached for maybe 20 years. That's been quite a while ago. And but I just kind of had a little gap between the first and the fourth seal as basics of total understanding of what it was dealing with. And the Lord was dealing with me the other day and opened it unto me. So maybe I'll try to bring that tonight. And that's the reason I wanted to drop back to this, to be able to get the foundation in the correct order. It wasn't that I was preaching something. I had it right, as I said. If you listen to the tapes and then you listen to the night, you'll say, well, that's what you said. Well, you know, you can say a lot of things, but when it's revealed, there's a lot of difference. And I pray that the Lord will help us all to understand. All right. We covered this the last message. You know, we were talking about how that this Antichrist, as we'll read in a minute, that it was so deceiving that it's deceived the whole world. You know, and in doing that, then it's close to deceiving the bride, because if the Bible hadn't said, you know, that it would not deceive us, then I'm sure it would have done a lot of damage. But you better remember, the prophet said that we wouldn't be deceived, but he said, frankly, if he didn't cut the work short, there wouldn't be any flesh saved for a rapture. So we better be concerned about that and not be our heads blowed to high, so high that we think, I can't be deceived. And that probably is 99% of the people's statement of the world, that they're not deceived. Did you think you was deceived when you was in the Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, Pentecostal, or you was in a night of your own? You know what I mean by that? You know, had your own doctrine, your own idea or thoughts, you know, and all. See, it deceived the world, and it even deceived the prophet. That was my emphasis I was trying to get across. Because when he comes to that first seal, he said, I'd have made a horrible mistake. Amen. If the Holy Spirit hadn't have come down and corrected me on something I was going to preach, in other words. Then you say, no, Brother Dale, he understood out there when the angels came down. Well, you better go back and read that a little bit. you'll find out, he said, the angel there, or the Holy Spirit, said, go back to Jeffersonville. It'll be told you what to do.
Right.
Now, either he's a prophet or whatever you want to do about it, that's up to you. But when he come back, he said, I don't know what that first seal is.
Right.
Well, now you're going to make him a liar to say he did.
Right.
Now, sure, he had a whole lot better understanding than me and you.
Amen.
All right?
That's right.
You know, you see what I'm saying? A whole lot better understanding than me and you.
Right.
And a whole lot more capability of being correct than you and I, because he was a prophet. All right? Now, but still, if something is not unveiled to him, it's not unveiled. All right? So then we can see that it was the spirit of Satan working in the children, the Bible says, of disobedience. Turning the righteousness of God into a lie. And he said Satan told that same lie that he told Eve. Well, you know, Eve believed that lie. Adam was not deceived, but Eve was. She believed that lie. It was so close to the truth until she believed it. And like I've tried to emphasize that to you many times, I believe he was trying to convince her not to have an act with him, the beast, you know. But it was Satan speaking through him. He was trying to convince her that she was chosen for this job, but that Adam and God wouldn't tell her about it. It wasn't just the deception is not the act on the ground, as we call it. The deception was in the very heart of Eve that thought she was doing right. And the world church system still thinks that they're doing right. All right. Now, but it's so deceiving until John, I gave you the quotes there. John even admired this church system that he saw.
Amen.
He looked at it and he admired it. He didn't see horrible things like we think is dumb, you know, demons, or they just go around there like this, you know. Who were trying to scare the kids, or who, you know. Satan is very slick with the tongue, and the Bible even says that his ministers were as ministers of righteousness. So that would leave out a law teacher, wouldn't it? All right, that blunt enough? Somebody's a good law teacher, I'd even leave him out. He's not even considered in the deception.
Right.
It's not the guy in the pulpit that tells you it's okay to drink and run around and stuff like that. You're going to heaven anyway. That's not the deceiving. The deceiving is when he's trying to get you to see his doctrine and to believe it. There's your deception. That was what I was trying to get across. All right, so tonight, what do we look at? Now, listen to what I'm saying. Even though the prophet in the first seal seen the Antichrist, and even in the first seal, he covers him as Antichrist, false prophet, beast. He covers about the Pope and the things in the first seal. But you see, once that part opened to the prophet of who that white horse rider was, then he could see that it would be the same rider to ride on each horse. Even though it would turn out to be the second seal red, third seal black, fourth seal pale, it would just be changing the color of the horse to represent what was going to be. But I believe that when he seen the Antichrist, he knew who that was that would be straddling that horse.
Right.
All right. So when the second seal broke, he didn't have to go back other than to say, see here, this second seal shows you that it's the same rider. The same rider, it's different horses. All right. Now, we say, well, now, but that first seal shows the Antichrist. Well, is that only that all the stages you can see? Sure, Satan is a very deceiving person. But this Antichrist that we're going to read here in a second, the prophet said, you want to know who he is? He's the Antichrist. That was Satan. Satan in his deception.
Amen.
Right? He starts out as a spirit. Antichrist spirit. Then he becomes a false prophet. Then he becomes an incarnate false prophet. Being the Pope. And then he'll turn out to be the beast one day. Same devil. All right? Same person. And that's the way that seal opened to me was it. Here stands a lamb with a book in his hand, and there goes a white horse rider. And see, the prophet said, look, that's another person. That's a guy. He calls him guy, I think, three or four times just prior to the speaking that said, who is this? It's the Antichrist. He said, and he's a fellow. See, the Bible says that there was a horse and a rider. All right. Now, that is opening the seal. And get my point now. That breaks the symbol of the rider. All right. Because it just says a white horse rider, you know, rider on a white horse. It breaks the symbol of the rider. But it doesn't reveal the seal in its fullness. Because there's a whole lot more to the seal than just a symbol of a rider.
That's right.
See, the rider, the symbol, if you get what I'm saying, once it broke to the prophet, he could see that was Satan changing his form from one form to another as he rode. But to be the same devil. Huh? But now watch what I'm saying. Now we're going to read out of the first seal that he sees this. But then he says, I don't know what that second seal is. But yet he knows the rider. Now are you listening?
Right.
He knows the rider. He knows who's going to be riding on that red horse. He knows who's going to be riding on that black horse. He knows who's going to be riding on the pale horse. That doesn't break the seal. Because there's a lot more to the seal. Now remember, to find Satan and to know it's him is wonderful. But that's not a symbol of a church. You got to break the other symbols to be able to see that it's a symbol of a church and things. All right? See, so it's the same rider every time. Because it's the devil. And he's just changing his mask. Changing his way, he's revealing himself or making himself known. Because he's trying his best to do, but he always does everything in copy after God revealing himself.
Amen.
That's why I've always told you then, to reveal the devil is not the seals.
Right. That's right.
You just broke a symbol.
Yep. Amen.
You didn't reveal the devil. You can't reveal the devil. There ain't no devil to be revealed. Well, Brother Dale, there is a devil. Now, don't think I'm that carnal that I don't know what I'm saying. The devil's not a person. Oh, you can call him the person of the devil. You can say those things. But he's not a person. He has no body, spirit, and soul to display himself. That's what he tried to do in the garden through Eve and the beast, to try to enter the human race. He can't create. That was the one thing withholding from him. He said, but Brother Dale, don't you think the devil's real? Yeah, he's a real devil. Sure is. But he doesn't have a body, spirit, and soul to display himself. If he had he would have went straight to Eve himself. Come on. So he had to use something vicarious. He entered the beast and used that beast to talk to Eve. He could have spoke to her maybe in some ways through her inner being, but he's got to have somebody to talk through. So he entered the beast and used the beast's voice to speak. Now remember, Satan is a created being. He was the anointed cherub that stood beside the Lord. He's even called in the Bible a man. In Scripture, he's called a man. But that don't mean he's got a body, spirit, and soul. No. He cannot do anything unless he's permitted to do it. We'll get to it in a minute. He has no power. Oh, but look what the devil can do. He can't do anything to you unless God allows him. If we'd ever get that into our heads, you know. Of course, that's what people do, you know. I've been honest with y'all on trying to preach to you. There's things that come up on these human bodies is because of the deterioration. It's not to say, oh, the devil's after me. I got a bad cold. Well, that may be true. But it might be because that you run out without a coat on when it was cold. So are you going to be the devil that made yourself get it? All right. See, there's things that are brought on us because of life. Well, the devil's making me older. Now, he ain't making you older. He can't do that. Come on. The Bible says the devil is like a man laying in a ditch that has no strength. I'm quoting Scripture to you. And why are we afraid of him? When the first seal shows he ain't nothing but a bluff anyway. Because he don't have no arrows for his bow. We just read it. See, that's what I'm saying. We look at it and we think, well, I understand that. But really, do we? Why are you afraid of the devil? You ought to be like that fellow would have heard a story about a man that was walking down the road, and this guy said, his buddy, you know, he crawled up in the bushes and pulled a joke on his buddy, and he come walking by, and he said, hey, John. He stopped, looked around. He said, I'm the devil. I've come after you. He started praising the Lord. He said, you don't understand, I'm the devil. He said, I didn't know you was that far away from me. We ought to realize that.
Yeah.
But get the point, and then when we go through, you'll see. Satan, he's not a person in the point of being a body, spirit, and soul. He can be called a person or a fellow or a guy or even a man. You say, well, anything's a man's got to have body, spirit, and soul. Well, see, that's where you're missing it. You're taking your theological interpretation. You know what I mean? Your own idea. won't you just listen to the word and read it? You see, that Antichrist, he only started out as a spirit. We gave you the quotes where that when Jesus was here, Judas was here. When Jesus was crucified, Judas went to a cross. When the Holy Ghost came back on the day of Pentecost, the Antichrist come back and started dealing with the church to deceive it. What does the prophet call the devil's work? Attempted destruction of God's word. If he can get you to doubt the word of God as being true, he's got you. We'll find out in a minute. He has no crown. He's got to be given one. Well, God never gave the devil a crown. Come on, God didn't give him a crown.
That's right.
We did.
That's right.
You say, yeah, but those people are wonderful people. I agree with you. But you know, why don't we ever thank God for being the fact that he didn't let us be deceived?
Right.
We don't have anything against people and their ideas and churches. It's just the fact of trying to find the truth to get us out of here.
Amen.
They have to answer to God for their own selves. But get the point now, what I'm talking about. The Antichrist, he starts out as a spirit. It's Satan as a deceptive spirit to try to enter into you and I. Okay? He don't have much trouble doing that because we were born kinfolks to him. Whether you like it or not, you can holler. We were talking a while ago about seeds and what people believe in this message. You can holler all you want to about seeds and how you come here with eternal life. You know, people take that. They'll quote Brother Branham, oh, we come here with eternal life. Well, then if you did, Jesus Christ died in vain.
Right.
So something's wrong.
Right.
The prophet's not saying what we think then, is he?
Right.
All right. But you see, it's time to line it up and get it right.
Amen.
And quit playing around, because we got to walk out of here.
Amen.
And I don't know of another message that's got anything in it, do you?
No.
I mean, this is the only one I know that's got the truth in it.
Amen.
See, get the Antichrist down as what he is. The Antichrist is Satan. He's a spirit. All the Old Testament, that's where people don't like me to preach this way. But there was never but one man or one woman, and they don't, most of them even agree with a man. They don't agree with Eve at it, but I believe Adam and Eve had eternal life in their soul.
Amen.
As an impartation, not a birth.
Right. Amen.
They never went through a birth. They didn't have to go through the justification, same case of the baptism and older. It was imparted into Adam, but nobody after then. So everybody after then, kin folks to the devil.
Right.
Well, Brother Dale, oh no, they had an anointing of the Holy Spirit. That's why your prophet, we were talking about a while ago, he said, David said, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee.
Right.
You know what Brother Brown said? I believe it's the birth pains or spoken word, original seed. He said David needed the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Said he had everything right, but he didn't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He had an anointing that could kill a bear, a lion, or a giant, or whatever. But when that leave him, he could go out and take his best friend's wife and have the man killed and try to cover it up. Don't look like a born-again Christian, does he? See, that's why the prophet would say then, these seals you spoke of from Genesis.
Right.
And go all the way back in Genesis.
Right.
And follow it down. and see what's going on. And look back there and see that Eve was deceived.
Right.
And it went on over. Cain was deceived. See, then Abel was just as perverted as Cain because of this way he come in to the world. No, Abel was a seed of God. Go ahead. Go ahead. But he was lost. He needed a Savior. He said, well, how do you know that? Because he offered a sacrifice. Does that solve the problem? If he didn't need a Savior, he'd have been standing back, Cain, you go ahead, I don't need it. I always was eternal. Now, none of that will fit. Right? But you see, church, until we're born again, that devil is living in our soul because of the perversion and the fall. That's why you got to be born again. You got to get him out of there where you can get the life of God inside of there. Then we can say we're a child of God. So no wonder the world is deceived. Only those who have the new birth is the only ones who can understand
amen.
Satan and his ways.
All right, amen.
Right?
Amen. That's right.
So only those that are born again know the difference. Now you can know the quotes. But yet, what is quotes without a God to reveal it?
Amen.
All right? So let's get started now on something. And I want you to just hold a point through of what I'm talking about. That Satan rides that first horse a while, gets off, gets on the red. Rides it a while, gets off on the black. Rides it a while, comes up over on the pale horse. That's just a symbol of the rider. You will a first seal? What do you ask people? What's the first seal? Antichrist. Well, I thought the seals was to reveal Jesus Christ.
Amen. That's right.
And we would see the Antichrist in opposition
right.
riding away.
Amen.
I didn't know the seals was to reveal the devil. I thought I just read to you in Revelation 1 there that this is the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Doesn't say anything about the devil.
Right.
And I hope you understand what I'm saying. He's not a man, the body, spirit, and soul, so you're not trying to reveal him.
Amen. Right.
You ought to know who he is. Oh, but Brother Dale, he is so sweet when he... When the Lord speaks to me, he's just so sweet and humble. But when the devil speaks, he's just hard. I think you got it backwards.
Right.
Honest as I can be.
Amen.
The devil sweet talks you. God says, sit down, shut up, and act like a child of God. He never told you like that. You got a treat coming when he does one day. He tells you to quit crying like a baby. And get on with living for him. Ain't too much sweet sometimes in his voice.
Right.
Them Pharisees sure didn't think that he had a good voice when he said, you are of your father the devil.
Right.
And his works you will do. The devil was saying, Caiaphas, you're the high priest. Everything's wonderful, sweet. When the Messiah comes, he'll walk down this carpet that'll roll out and walk right up to you and say, oh, great Caiaphas. That wasn't exactly the way the story goes, right? All right, I get off on that. Sometimes I get to preaching, I'd rather just talk. Let's just start reading just a little bit and just pick up some thoughts and follow our line. So go ahead, brother. Number one. All right. This is taken from the first seal, paragraph 293. You want me to tell you, he's talking about who he is. He's mighty in conquering power. Watch. But watch in a minute where he gets it. Is a great fellow in his conquering power. You want me to tell you who he is? He's the Antichrist. That's exactly what he is. What? So close together until it would deceive the very elect, the bride, if it was possible. Antichrist, it's the Antichrist spirit. Now, nobody in the early age would have accepted anybody walking out there and says, you got to believe me. They didn't see too many of them get in trouble about that. They knew the stories about how that, you know, Dathan and Korah said, Moses, you take too much on yourself. We're spiritual too. They didn't see that. They didn't see the great acts in the book of Acts by, who was it, Simeon? One of those guys that was using the spirit of the devil. Simon. And they done rebuked all of that. And they done seen those seven sons of Sceva run in there and try to cast out that devil.
Yep.
And it didn't work.
Right.
They done seen what happened to them.
Amen.
So it wouldn't be a man walk out. It wouldn't be someone walk out in that first church age and say, hey, I'm the devil. You got to believe me. Because he ain't going to say, under the second seal, I'm the devil. He ain't going to say under the third one or the fourth one. When he becomes literally the beast, is he going to walk into the temple and say, I'm the devil? No. He's going to say what he's always saying. I am instead of God. Because they got enough sense to know. How many popes have they had? Right? 200 or 300 popes?
Right.
Well, did the God die when the Pope died? No, they believe the incarnate God moved over to incarnate into the next Pope.
Right.
You know, right?
Right?
So don't think he'll ever come to you and say, I'm the devil, fall down and worship me. When he come to Martin, or which one it was, he told him he was Jesus Christ. He seen him and he throwed the inkwell at him and said, get out of here. But he knew who he was. So don't ever look for the devil to walk up to you and say, don't you know I'm the devil? No. He's always going to tell you he's Jesus Christ. He's God or instead of God. Right? So then think about him. Look at the next one. Paragraph 266. He's talking about this Antichrist. He had a bow in his hand, which meant little Cupid. That's what they used to think. You know? He shot the arrows of love into the hearts of the people. The love of God, and he conquered. That's what man used to teach. That's what your theologians teach about the Wild Horse Rider. Now that sounds very good, but it isn't true. No, sir. That it wasn't. White does mean righteous. We realize that. That white means righteous. The teachers taught it. That it was the Holy Spirit conquering in the first age. And what? But my revelation of it by the Holy Spirit is not that way. Now watch his revelation. My revelation by the Holy Spirit is Christ and the Holy Spirit is the self-same person.
Right.
See? Only in a different form. So here stands Christ, the Lamb. We know he was the Lamb. He's standing here with the books in his hand. And there goes this white horse rider. See, it wasn't the Holy Spirit. All right? Now, are you following it? Where would a Trinitarian ever be able the seals to break to them? Because he says Christ. And the Holy Spirit is the self-same person. And he says, and the Lamb is that person. So then your revelation of one God. Right? was simple. You remember, I preached this in 79, let alone 81, 82 in there. So Brother Branham was standing there, and he was talking about a wild horse rider. So he says, here stands a lamb with a book in his hand. And out there goes the white horse rider. See, he knew he was seeing two people. One standing there as the lamb, which was Christ Almighty God. The other was another fellow riding off. So he knew immediately that there was a problem. See, that's how easy it was to be revealed to the prophet that it was the Antichrist. It was Satan. Anytime you see two people in the Bible, that's why I said a Trinitarian can't figure that out. See, he's got people here and people there, persons here and persons. He just got all kinds of them. The Holy Ghost, you ever heard Trinitarian? The Holy Ghost sent the Holy Spirit down with a sperm into the womb of the Virgin Mary, you know. Got to have Father, Son, and Holy Ghost involved. You never heard them where the Bible said if you deny the Father, you deny the Son, which is proven that there's just one God. You ain't never talked with one, or haven't, excuse me. I use the word aunt. That's okay. It's in the dictionary now. You never heard them say, if I deny the Father, I'll deny the Son. And I'm not going to deny. I'm going to keep my three persons, no matter what you say. The Baptists, I've told you over and over, teach and believe, even till this day, that there's just one God. But they say he's God in three persons. Blessed Trinity. Co-equal and co-eternal. I've made the statements over and over to you, and they're back there in my office. If you want them, go into Wikipedia and run up Nicene Council 325 AD, and it'll give you the Nicene Council and tell you what they were arguing. Arius and Athanasius was arguing. Athanasius was saying that Jesus was a different substance. Arius was saying, however you pronounce his name, that he was the same substance. You ask most people to quote the Nicene Creed. Have you ever read the Nicene Creed? In 325 AD, they established a creed, a statement of doctrine. That statement says that Jesus was Almighty God, Creator. And they lambasted Athanasius for his doctrine. But you need to keep reading a little bit. Because somebody, I forgot who it was giving it to me Sunday. Sister Barbara, who was it? Who gave me that Sunday? Trudy Cassant, right? At 381, they added some words to the Nicene Creed. And said, Mary, the mother of God. We see most people would read something like that. But the original Nicene Creed states that Jesus was Almighty God and there is no other God. But then the deception got easing in, see. And they started changing it. Then they began to bring in all of the other things. I wish you'd read it. Of how the Pope had come into the view. Now he got started. But you see, you say one God. You know that the Mohammedans believe in one God. His name is Allah. Right? See, the world never did believe in a Trinitarian doctrine until the Catholic Church come along. It took about 606 before the water baptism was changed. Made into Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But you hear Brother Branham say, at the Nicene Council 325 AD, everybody think, everything happened right there. It didn't happen there. Right. He knew it. It took time to get that doctrine, the deception I was talking about Sunday, into the mind of man. Right. like we were talking a while ago, when I told him, I said, if time lasted and 100 years from now, our great-great-great-great-grandchildren, or how long it take, great-great-great, I guess, or something, you know what they'd say? Jesus was married. I saw it. I didn't see it, but Grandpa told me he saw a movie. It done got it in your mind. It done got it in your mind.
Right.
Yeah. Wondering some of the people in this message done come up with it. Preachers, so-called. They've come up with everything else. But listen, church. If there's just one true and living God, and that God is the Lord Jesus Christ, there is not another God. Let's see, how does the scripture say those that be gods? There's gods, plural. 300 something million in, what is the number? 300 something million in India of gods and goddesses. But listen, when that prophet seen that lamb standing there, he seen that devil riding off. That seal broke right there to him. It unfolded the symbols that mankind had been deceived by. And you see, it was the same old devil in his ways. But now we're not going to be able to have time to get on over into the other. But remember, there's a whole lot more symbols that's got to be broke. But we'll try to cover a little bit. This Antichrist, he has no arrows for his bow, so he's a bluff. What the prophet called him. That he's a bluff. He said, that devil, that when he hollers boo at you, he said, just boo back at him. Like I always try to tell everybody, the devil tells you all about what you've done in your life, right? You remember, you done this, you done that, you done this. You can't be saved because look how bad you are.
Yeah.
Would you stop him and say, Satan, I'd like to make one point. There is a possibility of me being saved, but there's no possibility for you. And let me tell you what the Bible says about where you're going to be cast into the lake of fire. The Bible says that, right? The devil is going to be cast into the lake of fire. Remind him of where he's going. But get the point. Let's move on. See, the prophet explains then in the first seal. There was no arrows for the bow, so it was a symbol of a spirit. No, nothing of his own. He couldn't do anything with the bow. I've asked you to read the seal book. You know, but how many has kept my lessons and done it? And tried to read with me. And when I get up here and try to preach, I don't know where he said that or not. You know why? Because you ain't never read the book.
Right.
All right. But look what he says about the devil now. This is in the first seal. Now watch. Go ahead with number three. Paragraph 367. Now remember, the Antichrist and beast is the same self-spirit. There's the Trinity, yes, sir. It's three stages of the same devil power. Remember Nicolaitia? See, it had to be incarnate before it could be crowned. All right. And watch this, three stages. First stage, he's called Antichrist. Second stage, he's called a false prophet. Third stage, he's called the beast. Now we'll get on over in a minute where there's the four stages. We don't need to go there. Let's just think about it. You can't crown a spirit. So you have to do something. See, so you get a false prophet. Out comes a false prophet preaching the doctrine that the Antichrist had. That's why he's called a false prophet. Alright? See, you can't crown him because you can't tell. He's not out in the open enough for you to be able to see what's going on. He's just teaching the doctrine of the Antichrist. So he's called a false prophet. You know, I've been through it a week or so ago. If people read that and they just say three stages. Antichrist, we'll read in a minute, four stages. What? Antichrist, prophet, pope, incarnate, false prophet, and finally the beast. Oh, see, there's four combats. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, lion, ox, man, eagle. All right. Now, so what is he? The rider of each horse is the same. Go on to the next now. So when he starts into the second seal, what does he say? Now here's my revelation of it. This is Satan again. It's the devil again in another form. What's he talking about? He changed his horse, went to red. It's the same devil. Satan again. Same devil. So you see it unfolding from all of the seals. It's going to show Satan in the opposition of God. All right? Satan. Seeing him is that. The spirit form first. All right. He had no bows and no arrows, but he's given a crown. Now the false prophet that started out, and Paul would say there's already false prophets among you. John said that the Antichrist was already among us. Teachings that denying that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, he's Antichrist. Paul would speak of false prophets because they've seen them. They were already rising up teaching things like two of them. I always get their names wrong there, but two of them was teaching that the resurrection was already past. I think it's Phyllis, it's Hymenaeus, or how you pronounce it. Teaching the resurrection was already past. Paul turned them over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. Right. He saw these false prophets. But do you know when the Pope came into being? We'll read that in a minute. It unfolds to us, the prophet said, that it's the same rider. Changing horses. Horses are powers, are symbols, and there's where your church starts coming into view as the power. Because where does the Pope get his crown? From the people. Amen. See, by the time the Pope came into being, it had to start out with false prophet, bishops, etc., etc., falling in, and these leading to that, and this, you know, it took quite a while. As a matter of fact, 300 years. Now, I didn't look up to see, that's the words of the prophet. He said 300 years later, the Pope came into being. You may go home and look it up and find out it's 250 years or something, you know, whatever. Just remember, we're trying to say something. It took a while for the Pope to come into view. He didn't come into view in the book of Acts. But the Antichrist and the false prophet was dealt with in the scriptures of the apostles. Paul would only speak of the man of sin sitting in the temple of God, showing himself to be as God. But he was looking at it to unfold later on, not in his day. Right. Now, when it does, it comes down, see, that he's just a bluff. All right, I'm trying to cut out some. But he received a crown, a triple crown, we're reading them in, over heaven, earth, and purgatory. There's no such thing as purgatory in the Bible. So the Pope, to get it where he could control the people, he come up with a purgatory. You know that every Catholic, Pope, priest, who he is got to go, according to their doctrine, to hell when they die. And like I said the other day, this last one was such a good guy, he just made a whistle stop, and they bounced him right back out of there, and he's probably already in heaven as far as their doctrine is concerned. But they believe that everybody's got to go to hell. Because that's where you come up with a purgatory where you can scare you with it. You get excommunicated from the Catholic Church, you realize to them there is no hopes of you ever being saved. They give you a chance to repent and you won't do it. They gave it to Martin Luther. He said, I've said what I said. He was excommunicated from the Catholic Church, which meant, according to their doctrine, he was dead. I'm glad God didn't believe their doctrine. Aren't you? But get what I'm talking about. A crown was given him. The people crowned him. The people that had the same identical Antichrist spirit, and it went into their false prophets, and they began to preach it, and in one day it was incarnate in a pope. A pope. The pope in his original beginnings, I'm reading this out of Wikipedia, he didn't have the full authority, even though he had a crown. But as it went along, it began to designate him as the final authority. There's many splits in the Catholic Church over the authority of the pope. There used to be two different popes. That was back in history. But get the point of what I'm talking about now. Where did he get that crown? Because that first seal said, and a crown was given him. Now come on, follow my points. The church gave him the crown. I didn't say the bride, I said the church. But the bride was caught up in it. Brother Brown said, they should have never went to Nicaea. Why? Because they brought back that doctrine. He said, oh no, they didn't. Well, argue with your prophet. Until it come into the time of later on we get in the dark ages and the thing, until the light was just totally put out through the symbols. But listen, a crown was given. God never gave that man a crown. That was Satan. That had become not totally incarnate as the beast, but he had become incarnate into a head man called a pope. He could change the rules, do what he wanted to. You differed with him, out you went. He was given the power. He was given the crown. A triple ruling crown that you see over there in Rome. Over heaven, earth, and purgatory. The church wound up to be the most powerful organized religion there is, and still is today. More land is owned by the church systems than any other corporation, etc., or whatever. That's why they're going to try to take away your tax status. They're working on it. They'll take it away. Because they own millions of billions of acres of land or properties is owned by the churches that is tax-free. Yeah. Who gave that Pope his crown? The people. He just had a little doctrine, little idea. Kind of reminds you of what happened in heaven, don't it? Lucifer or Satan and his angels, what was Satan trying to do in heaven? Take over. And he got all of the, got one third. I know Brother Ryan will even say two thirds. The angels of heaven believe Satan's lie. And were cast out. Those were in the days of demon spirits. Not in human occupations, you know, people. But he came to earth and Brother Branham said, them demons that fell gave us a nature. That's what I was talking about a while ago. We're born kinfolks to the devil. And we're trained from the minute we open our eyes. A little old baby, he can't hardly do nothing. And lights it all over the place. And he's laying there. And this nurse says, boy, ain't something in blankety-blank baby's born all here on the full of the moon. Poor little kid, all he hears is bad words. You know, you don't have to teach your kids to say bad words. Right? Mom and daddy don't say them. Grandma and grandpa don't say them. Aunts and uncles don't say them. They'll still say them. Why? You ask that little old kid, he's standing there with cookie all over his hand, cookie all over his face. You ask him, said, you eat that cookie? He said, mm-mm. I know you don't like me and my ways, but you look down at a little fella and you say, ain't he a pretty little devil? Oh, you don't like that about your kids or grandkids or something like that especially. But until that baby's born again, he's got somebody he's more kin to than you are. But listen, he's just a bluff. Why are we afraid of him? The people gave him the crown. We'll get down to that quote in a minute if I have enough time. Look at the next one. Let's see. Brother Joe, wait a minute. Let me jump up to number 7. We'll bypass a couple of them. Look, number 7. Because you see, Satan has no power. The Bible says that only powers that's given of God. Satan don't have no power unless we give it to him. He didn't have a crown until people gave it to him. He wasn't able to kill until he got somebody that would follow his orders and do the killing. Look what he says about him. So much the power of life and death. That's the only two powers. And Satan can only, his power he's got is the perverted power of God. It isn't no real power. It's a perversion of God's power. Death is only a perversion. Right. Look what he calls it in the third Exodus, number 8. Paragraph 152. The enemy will purpose always his system, and unbelief will accept it because the enemy is the intellectual sign. Now remember, there's only two. Don't forget this, there's only two powers. Now, he's going to be down here in a minute and answer it, okay? One is spiritual power of the Holy Spirit. The other one is the devil working through intellectual power. It's on the paragraph up above on the other one. He has only intellectual power. He doesn't have any power of his own. Only what God give him or allowed to work. He allowed that deception to come in to try the real bride.
Right.
Satan don't have any power. Well, his two powers are. What did Brother Brown say? One is spiritual power, the Holy Spirit. The other one is the devil working through intellectual. For that's where he entered in the Garden of Eden through intellectual powers to make Eve believe in intellectual conception against the word. Just as plain as it could be, even the kids can get it. Listen, church. He has no power. He can't do anything with you until God turns him loose. He allowed these things to happen. The prophet says, and the Bible said, to prove you and I. God never gave Satan any power to control you with. He gave him powers and abilities to inflict, to do whatever. But the Holy Spirit is there to control you and I. See, you're still afraid of the devil, and why? Why are you afraid of the devil? He can't do anything until God permits it. He can't take your life until God permits him to take you. You want scripture? Job. God said, you can take him, do what you want to with him, but you can't touch his life. Bible. Go back and read the book of Job. You couldn't touch him. Satan can only be permitted, and he was permitted to take the church down. But it was really to try the real genuine. You remember that scripture back there where it talks about if a prophet come among you and give a sign, and the sign come to pass, he takes you to another God, don't believe him. He said, I've done that to prove you. But Brother Dale, I ain't never give no crown or no pope. You remember one we read there the other day where Brother Ryan said, you talk about a preacher in a denominational church. He said, do what you want to. We've got real good friends that are preachers and things in these churches. I was just yesterday, my nephew, give me anything in the world. He invited Wade to come up and preach for him, the Baptist church, and told Wade, said, if you hold back anything, it's your fault. He's a great guy. But yet he's caught by that system. And see, they're giving theirs. Like when I was in the Baptist church, I was kind of like then, like I am now. I like to look up things and read. This is 1950. We left the church in 67. I was ordained deacon at 23 years of age, which would have been 1963. I went everywhere and checked out everything. You know that we were sending money then from the Baptist Conference to insurrect riots in foreign countries that would not allow the Baptists or Methodists or whatever to come to those countries. I knew that then. You know what I said? I said, Lord, my tithe's going to stay at home. Boy, I'm smart, wasn't I? I'm going to designate mine to be spent at home. But boy, who counted the money? You know, did mine stay at home? Or did mine go with the rest of them? No, now, Brother Dale, we ain't never been no part of. You support a false doctrine. That's why I told my wife the first church we were in this message when I had to leave because of a doctrine. I said, I'll give you money, a car, transportation to go for you and the kids if you want to go. But I'll not give you one dime of tithe to give to the man. Because I ain't going to support a false doctrine. If you think I'm wrong here, you put your money in the part, you're supporting the wrong doctrine. I don't mind talking like that. If you think I'm wrong, I'm not right, You're putting your money, you're supporting the devil then. How many dollars went out of our pockets to support all the systems of the world and the things? Come on. Am I wrong? Come on, church. He said, but I wouldn't give no crown. Might not have given a crown, but we put a lot of dollars in the plate for them to buy him one.
Right.
Uh-oh. What about it? Yes, but I'm helping a good, honest-hearted. Yeah. I'm doing it to help. Help what? Helping the devil. He's taking our money. Okay, I get to preaching. I get down off of preaching. I get to meddling, don't I? But listen, a crown. Go down to number. We're running out of time. Run down to number 11, Brother Joe, or Brother Anderson. Because we've got these if you want them. We received a crown. We received a triple crown. But look at this one. You can't crown a spirit. But 300 years later, he became a pope. And then they crowned him. He had no crown to start with. But he got a crown later, see. When that spirit became incarnate, see, he become a man. Now watch it. He's in a man, a pope. Nicolaitan doctrine, become a man. Then they could crown it. They couldn't do it because he was just a doctrine. See, a doctrine, you don't crown a doctrine. You crown the person that's got the doctrine incarnate. When that pope came out there, he became the vicar of heaven and earth and purgatory. He became the one who stands between you and God. Oh, he's a good pope. Yeah. Hell's going to be full of good people. Maybe some Lulites will be there. Good people. But what are we? See, 300 years later, he became a pope. He didn't start out right with a pope to start with. And who made him a pope? The people.
Amen.
Like I said a moment ago, isn't it odd? The pope dies. And what do? The people elect him another one. Right? They elect him another pope. They elect him another God. Come on, is that right? One who stands in for him. That's why I don't allow around here we put too much emphasis on this fella. Because there ain't no pope coming out of this thing. Brother Branham is our authority. If what I say is truth, then truth is the authority. Right. But you see what they've done? We ain't calling names no more. I said I'm through with that. So I've called names a few times and found out people told me later that I was lying about it. So I got where I'm trying my best not to call names. But I was talking to a certain person in Israel as we were looking around through the Mosque of Omar and seeing the big old rock and the hole and all that Mohammed was supposed to went up through. And he looked at me and he said, Brother Dale, said, one of these days they'll make one of these for Brother Branham. I said, Brother, they've already got it. They've already made it. Come on, before he died, they believed he was God. That was that snake in the people. And he was never able to kill that snake because it went in the water, people. It come out after he died. And there's people who believe that Brother Branham was Almighty God. Huh? Little less God. There's people today who believe that Brother Branham is going to come back and preach the things that we don't now understand. Well, it'd take him 40 years or 50. Well, it took him 30-something to preach what he did. When it's messed up now, it'd take him 40 or 50 years. That's not a joke. That's what I'm trying to show you. I've preached what I believe about the tent visions and the things. Brother Branham can come back and he can be here with us for 30, 40 days, but so will the dead saints be here. And he's got 30, 40 days to preach to us. But the plan of redemption's already been preached. We don't need him here to tell us how to be redeemed. Come on. I've never denied anything that he said. I just try to put it in the right perspective of what I think. My dependence is not in the resurrection of a prophet. My dependence was in the resurrection of Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago. And for him to raise in you and I to destroy these doctrines that we have. Paul wanted an out resurrection. That always bothered me where he talked about that. Brother Brown said he wanted to be raised out. He already understood the resurrection in Jesus Christ. He said he wanted to be raised out of the resurrection, out of the dead that was around him. The ones that was trying to deceive him. He wanted raised out of the dead that was alive around him. That's what we all ought to do. He said, but Brother Dale, you shouldn't be so stern. Let's see if I can quote Brother Branham. He said, you sympathize with the devil. You've taken his doctrine. That's a paraphrase quote. I'll be glad to find it. He said, you can't sympathize with the devil. But if you do, he's got you. Oh, sure, yeah. Well, then I don't sympathize with him. What do we do?
Right.
Think about him, what he's doing to you and I.
Right.
But watch, we read these, going down to number 12. Let me get these and we'll just get quit. Because I want to make sure you get the point of what I'm talking about. You know, the other day we were covering the four stages of the Antichrist. See, we read there in the first seal and we find out it's just, it looks like a three stages. I showed you where it's a four stages to get the point. The second seal, paragraph 184. Notice Satan's trinity. Same person coming, just incarnate from one to the other. Rider. That's the way them bugs did. Time worm, canker worm, palm worm, locust, caterpillar. They ate the bug. The bugs ate the tree down. That's what he's talking about. Go read in between there. Yeah. One to the other. Nicolaitan, spiritual antichrist. What? Spiritual antichrist, pope, false prophet, beast. Now he's back to the four. The beast is Satan incarnate. He's back to the four. Now let's see if he's keeping his point right, that it's the same rider. Go ahead, 13. The four stages of his rider has been revealed. The four stages of the Antichrist riding has been revealed at this time. Therefore, they don't have to have any more. That's why you don't have any more combat beasts. You only got four ends of the fourth seal. Right. And there were four living creatures of God to announce the riding as they rode four beasts or four powers. Look at the next one. Read this one. And I want you to notice the four of them. Notice the off mark of four of the spiritual mathematics. God is threes. This is four. He's in four here. First, Antichrist. White. Second, false prophet. Red. Third, vipers of heaven and earth and purgatory. Black. That's the Pope. Right? Fourth, the beast pale, Satan being kicked out of heaven. All right? So he goes through Satan being kicked out. First, he's Antichrist, just a teaching called Nicolaitan. Then he becomes from that to a false prophet. It's an Antichrist. Antichrist is against. Anything that's against God's word is against God, because the word is God. In the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was made flesh. What is it? He had no thing. Spirits can't be crowned. Go on down. Let's pick up the... drop to the 16 where we can read it. Go ahead, number 16. Right. Notice Nicolaitan, the Antichrist teaching that started in the days of Paul against God's word, Antichrist. Then he's called again the false prophet, which when the teaching become a man, he was a prophet to the teaching of the hierarchy of the Catholic Church. The Pope was the prophet to the false word, and that made him a false prophet. The third stage is a beast, a man crowned and coming forward in the last days. So it looks like he's still just holding, but look at his wording. He's done said it over here four stages. What? Antichrist, false prophet, pope, beast, Satan incarnate. Listen. It's the same writer. But that's only the symbol of the writer. The symbol of the writer is broken. He had no bows. The horse was white, symbol of the church. Right. Second was what? He went from what? Antichrist, false prophet. Not talking about second seal now. We're still in the first. See, because it goes from that Antichrist to a prophet. Because you can't start the second seal until you get a pope. We'll pick that up next Wednesday, the Lord willing. You don't start the second seal until you see the symbols. The symbol of the first is always the rider. That's a symbol broke. We know that. No bow, no arrows for his bow, right? But he's given a crown. From the church he's riding. The white, righteous church, the prophet called it. That he's riding. So the symbols is broke of the first seal. But just because you know that the second seal is the same rider, don't break the symbols on the second seal. That'll have to go with you. You'll have to chew on it. The symbol of the second seal of the rider's alt's broke. The symbol of the third seal of the rider's alt's broke. The symbol of the fourth seal, the rider's alt's broke. The symbols of what's happening is not broke. See, then that way the prophet says, watch. He saw the symbols of the rider. He said, I don't know what that seal is. He knew the rider was the same. But he didn't know the symbols of the second seal. He didn't know what the red horse meant. Church, there's a lot yet to be revealed. There's plenty in the Word to be revealed. We say, what is the first seal? Antichrist. We say, what's the second? Antichrist. Third, Antichrist. Fourth, Antichrist. You've got a symbol of a horse. You're doing pretty good. But now, what is the second seal? You got a symbol of a red horse. But remember, in your first one, he had a crown given unto him, and he went forth what? Conquering and to conquer under the first seal. What is the second seal? give you a whole week. Maybe encourage you to read the seal book. You see, unless it's revealed, we don't know. I hope you're getting the point of what I'm talking about. That this thing is so deceiving until it still has deceived everybody in the world except the born-again believer. And the born-again believer was held to the point of not being able to see it until the prophet received it. Even though you were a born-again believer, you still didn't know what those seals were. So let's just don't think, well, we know what the seals are. It's a white horse rider. What's the symbols? Come on, brothers. What's the symbols? And we might find out. I did. And now I know what the second seal is, just like I knew then what the first one was. What has been revealed. I can see what it is. But I openly admit, no problems. I saw the first open. I always had trouble with the second and the third. To see it by revelation. Preach it to the letter. I'll challenge you to take the second seal and go back and play it. From 79, we don't have 79, 82. And see if it wouldn't want to say it. But I could see it. But it wasn't revealed. When it's revealed, I have no problems. Brother Dale, how can you stand up before people and preach what you believe? Because that's what I believe. That's why I can preach it. That's what I believe. I believe it's revealed. And I can see it. I can follow it. Let's stand together. And I don't have to worry. Because it ain't up to me to prove it. It's up to me to preach it. Up to him to back it up.
Amen.
Up to him to back it up. Go ahead, brother.
We're going to find number 129 in this prayer book.
129. Anybody have a need? We still be deceived.
There is
only those that are born again are not deceived. Anybody have a need? Come and be baptized into the body. Number one.
And into it we're all baptized.
How we baptize? One truth, most Holy Spirit. The only one that can keep us from being deceived is Almighty God to live inside of us. The prophet said, you can see then why the new birth is the most important thing in the world. This, well, one of them is president and the other is vice president, and forget the whole thing. Costing us billions of dollars for them to run them campaigns. All the same old devil. Oh, them good people. Good devil then. See, are we deceived? Thought, if you or me was blessed. elected president, it wouldn't help a thing. You find out one of these days that they're not controlling that like they think. Somebody else is controlling it. Let's just enjoy life and be happy and say, thank you, Lord, that we know the truth.
Are you in the
Savior's bride?
Come and be.
Anybody have a need? With saints of old departed. You just think about all of them one of these days. You know, we sit down at the welcome table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, according to the Bible. It's going to be a wonderful time to see those Old Testament saints. Be able to talk to them about the days they live. But what about when they say, yeah, but what about you? Then you can explain what happened. Something personal to David, that he could kill a bear, a giant, a lion, you know, a lion, whatever. It didn't matter to him. He had a revelation. At least we should have enough revelation to realize we're the bride of Jesus Christ. But Brother Dale, if we were what we thought we are, we wouldn't be sick. Well, Jesus was sick. Brother Branham was sick. Now, I think your doctrine just went out the door. See, we get these beautiful ideas that we think. The Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord leadeth out of them all. Yeah, but if we was bride, we wouldn't be sick. Now, you show me Bible or show me the prophet, and I'll hang a sign on my face in front of that video camera over there and say I'm a false prophet. See, church, God is wanting to live in His people. He sent us the Word for us to live by, to hold on to and see. Satan ain't nothing but a bluff. And the more we realize that, the more we'll realize that God is real. I had to cut out some parts of that, but Satan don't have no power unless God permits it. And if He permits him to come on you, why don't we change our thoughts? You know the greatest thing that ever happened to Job? Come on. Was for God to take his hand off and say, Satan, you got him, but you can't take his life now. He took his kids' lives, right? He couldn't take his. What about it then? Greatest thing could ever happen. Have you ever been down and out and so low that you couldn't even hardly see anything? And about that time the Lord come on the scene. You know, it don't make no difference then how bad you feel. Don't make no difference what happens. That's what Satan can't understand. He makes you sick, and you come out rejoicing. He brings all kind of afflictions upon it, and you rejoice. See, that's a true Christian. To rejoice whenever, it's easy to rejoice when everything's going good, isn't it? Oh, yeah. But when it starts going bad, then you never question God when everything's going good. Right? You don't never say, God, why is everything going good? No, you don't never do that, do you? Well, when everything starts going bad, you say, God, what's wrong? He said, I'm trying to teach you a lesson. See? You say, yeah, but Brother Dale, you've never been sick. I wouldn't say that. But I'll never let you know that I'm that sick. My wife will never know it. You won't never know it. Why? Because even if I am sick, Satan's going to be like old Brother Tom used to say. Brother Tom had a good way of saying it. He said, you put me in the hospital, and I'm going to testify to everybody in the hospital. Well, you know he did? That's what he done. We might not agree with the way he done it, but he'd draw out the seals and everything and give it to people that never even heard. We might not agree with that, but I agree with his statement. He said, you put me in the hospital, I'll testify to everybody in there. Little old brother over in Jamaica, he got a mix up about a bill of sale that he was about a transmission that somebody else had stole or whatever had happened. So they throwed him in jail. Well, the magistrate or what it was, they didn't want to fool with it on late Friday afternoon. You know, didn't want to fool with the case. I mean, he had papers to prove he's innocent. And this old judge just said, throw him in the calaboose. I'll take care of it Monday. Well, they throw him in the jail. He gets in there and he gets to preaching. And he gets to preaching his heart out. And you know what? He got converts in the jail. Some it was so mean that even the guards were scared of them. And they got converted. And at that time, I don't know what they've done, but he was the only preacher in Jamaica that was welcome to come to a prison and preach. They said they had to call, and the guards went and got him. Went and called a barber to bring him in because that old rag got hired and everything. Man, they shaved a bunch of them's heads. They got converted. Well, he was right in the will of the Lord. We got a few in the Bible like that, ain't we? Like Paul and a few of them. Right in the middle of the will of the Lord. You may wind up in jail by in the morning. Now, it ain't because you run down the road too fast and get locked up for speeding. I ain't talking about that. It's when you're not guilty. It's not when you're guilty. When you're guilty, you're guilty. You deserve it. I too. But when we're innocent, God will take care of us. Right? Amen. Father, we thank you for tonight, and we ask you to just help us. Give us understanding, Lord, of you. Help us to walk in the light of your love and be guided by your understanding. May that Antichrist, Lord, not have power enough over us, and may we not give him any power. Because if we lay around belly aching and complaining about our lives and our doings and the sicknesses that we have, we're just giving more power to the devil. Help us not to do that, Lord, but to give you honor and glory for everything. All things work together for good for them that are thee called according to your purpose, Lord. Bless the people on our way home. Take care of everybody. Give a safe journey and guide us in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.